fuck you.
I won't do what you tell me.
And this is...
Shot of Jack. I cannot stand pop music. I loathe the misty, soft focus lens videos, whitewashed teeth, carefully coiffed hair, and mundane, unoriginal, saccharine-sweetened shite that constitutes alleged music. The bastion of the boring and the bland is Simon Cowell, with his American Idol and X Factor machines pumping out grinning idiot after grinning idiot, armed with an acoustic guitar and a bottle of Wash and Go, each year vying to be crowned Christmas number one, the top-selling record in the UK charts. Cowell's X Factor artists have taken said crown from 2005 to 2008, but not 2009. This year, two music fans had had enough, setting up a Facebook group to encourage people to buy another, you know, decent song, and make that the Christmas number one. The song they picked was Rage Against the Machine's Killing in the Name, the excellent anthem of nonconformity, complete with 18 fucks in the latter part of the song. Compare and contrast to X Factor's Joe McElderry's cover of the Miley Cyrus song, The Climb, from 2009's Hannah Montana the Movie. No such fucks are present in that song. Social media dorks have claimed that this is a victory against the drudgery of the mass market machine. But is it?
The really impressive thing about it being a victory against the drudgery of the mass market machine is precisely that one guy said, do this, and 500,000 people said, yes, okay, we will do this.
It was pretty phenomenal. I mean, I hadn't heard about this until you told me about it when we were in England. I don't think this has spread further afield than England particularly. But it is a pretty remarkable achievement because X Factor and American Idol is huge, you know. I mean, it's such a huge machine that's out there that's taken the Christmas number one crown for so long. And the fact that they can, you know, dig up this Rage Against the Machine song and they can win it is phenomenal.
It's, to me, it was really intriguing. It was genuinely a battle royal. It wasn't as if Rage Against the Machine swept the board. Killing in the Name sold just over 500,000 copies. And The Climb sold just under 500,000, but it was pretty close. And it's intriguing to see that not only are there 500,000 people out there who want to buy the X Factor song, it's not like it's 14 idiots. You know, 500,000 people went out and bought the song, but then more than 500,000 people are that sick of Simon Cowell that... Yeah. They're prepared to do something to get around it. You know, even ignoring the fact that the very idea of using an anthem of nonconformity and getting people to conform by buying it is just completely ridiculous.
Particularly when you underline this whole sentiment with the fact that Sony BMG own both songs.
Well, you know? you did see a load of people sneering on Twitter about that. It's like, you're fighting the power, right? But Sony own both the songs. You're just in it. And you think... I don't think anyone was doing it as an effort to fight Sony. It was very specifically as an effort to fight Simon Cowell, who basically assumed that the X Factor song will be Christmas number one, because that's what happens at Christmas. The X Factor has the number one.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was pretty cool what the Zach de la Rocha, the singer from Rage Against the Machine, said. He said, quote, "It's more about the spontaneous action taken by young people in the UK to topple this very sterile pop monopoly." And he said that when young people decide to take action, they can make what seemingly impossible possible. We'd like to congratulate Joe and Simon, asshole, on the number. I may have modified that quote a little bit, but it's true. I mean, it's basically saying that, you know, young people are coming together to say, you know, we can change this, and that's what happened. Do you think it's? I mean, a lot of, like I said in the intro, a lot of the social media weirdos are kind of making out that this is a victory. Do you think that it's social media that really made this happen? I mean, do you think this really just united, 500,000 disparate voices?
The problem with the social media dorks claiming it as a victory is that they're seeing the existence of the social media stuff as being a driving force behind it, and it isn't. I mean, it was critically important. 10 years ago, you couldn't have done this because there was no way of getting the word out to 500,000 people in the UK. It's just not possible, you know. Ignoring the fact that... in addition to the fact that this only worked because you could do downloads. There's no way you'd have got 500,000 people to walk into HMV and buy a record.
Yeah.
No way at all. But you can do it with downloads because you could say to people, here, go and buy this record. It will cost you 80 pence, Which means that it's not a good way of getting lots and lots of people to buy into your plan is to make it so the thing that they have to do doesn't cost them very much, isn't very much effort, and gives them a certain feeling of being able to fight the power. And this fits that perfectly. Now, the fact that you had Facebook and Twitter out there pushing the thing made it very easy to get the word out to everybody. And that's important. That social media has genuinely made that kind of thing possible where it wasn't before, and that is a victory. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the thing that struck me about this whole situation is that some of the social media docs claim that that knowing how to operate social media tools in itself makes these kinds of things possible, and that's where I think the misconception lies. Is that social media, in my mind, what it merely does is it merely allows people who have already got certain opinions to express those opinions as a whole. Like, I don't believe that this converted somebody who would ordinarily go out and buy the horrible Miley Cyrus cover and instead go out and buy the Rage song. It just meant that people who did think, you know what, I'm fucking sick of Simon Cowell and his bullshit, it meant that those people could have a voice with a bunch of other people who had a voice, if you see what I mean.
It allows you very much... This is the idea of the changing nature of communities, because it now allows you to form a community around almost any subject, because you're not limited to the people you can talk to and reach out and touch and be near in the pub anymore. But that's what the internet did. That's not social media. People have been clubbing together to form little communities around areas of interest since before there was a web. You know, this is what Usenet was for years and years and years and years ago. So this is this is not anything new and remarkable that Facebook and Twitter have brought to the party, but it is an example of the way that a small community united around one idea can actually be quite a big community if there are 500,000 people interested in your idea.
Well, what I think is exciting as well is that What again isn't new is the idea of people coming together to ruck against the system. I mean, people have been doing that politically for years. People have been fighting governments politically for years. And they've been doing that through old school media. But, you know, it seemed like that happened a lot. That's happened a lot traditionally with, you know, with big political kind of campaigns and things like that. But this isn't a big political campaign. This is an annoyance that a lot of people share. And one thing that I do like about this whole social media thing is that if you want to gather together a big group of people around something that isn't, you know, critical to a nation or critical to anything else, people can do it. You know, it means that the smaller, less important opinions can be world-changing as well.
The thing that I'd really like to see is I'd like to see this kind of effort being put towards something a bit more useful, much as I like the fact that Cowell got big kick in the plums at Christmas and, you know, hooray for that, all very pleased. I'd love to see this sort of attention being turned more to things like politics.
Shot of Jack.
Or Shot of Jack. I wasn't actually specifically thinking of 500,000 people subscribing to Shot of Jack, but if you want to do that, then that's fine with us.
And pays 80 pence each.
I'm more thinking about things like politics and stuff, because if you look at the way the social media community are painting this as a success, the implication is that that would then turn to things like political campaigning, and it doesn't, because when I mentioned earlier, it was a success because it gave you a feeling of fighting the power, it didn't cost you very much, and it wasn't very much effort to do. The whole problem with political campaigning is precisely that you're not expecting people to buy in, do one thing, and then get lost. You expect people to buy in and then commit to something for a large period of time, which is why social media is great at picking up on things where you just have to say, oh, brilliant, I'll support this by clicking a link. If you look at the My Society people here in the UK have built a petitions website for the Prime Minister where you can go and fill in a petition, and then people can say, I signed that petition, I signed that petition, I signed that petition, and it will gather. A petition might gather 12, 15, 20, 25,000 signatures, which is great. But we haven't seen that really get picked up in a bigger picture kind of way.
Absolutely. So that's our thoughts on this particular topic. We think it's a combination of comedy gold and pretty interesting. But what do you think? This is merely the start of the conversation. You should go to shotofjack.org and share your thoughts right there.
Okay, or you could also send us messages on Twitter if you hashtag them with Shot of Jack. Tell us whether you bought Killing in the Name or whether you bought The Climb.
And also, let's not forget that if you want to email the two of us directly, you can email us at talktous@shotofjack.org and maybe share your thoughts on whether we should try and get 500,000 Shot of Jack listeners to maybe give us 80 pence each. You know, I think that'd work. And we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.